joining us now, getting up early from out in California, out in Palm Springs, from LPGA.com, Amy Rogers. Welcome to the Golf Shop.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. Good morning. Yeah, no, super excited to have you on. And boy, this is shaping up to be some kind of championship. So I want to jump right in. I love that this is the first major. It's one of my favorite events of the year. And the leaderboard right now, there are some surprises. Well, at first there was Amy Olson, who I didn't know used to be Amy Anderson. So I was very confused by where this person came from. And then Pernilla Lindberg, who didn't make the Solheim Cup this past summer, is playing really, really well and is a great story. So what are the storylines you're seeing shape up as the weekend kicks off?
Yeah, you just touched on a couple of them. I think Pernilla Lindberg is a really interesting story. She's never won out here on the LPGA Tour. She's been out here since 2010, so it's been quite a journey for her just trying to get that first win. She's just had one top 10 in a U.S. Women's Open a couple years ago, so she's definitely in unfamiliar territory. She'd never led a major championship until this week, so it's going to be really interesting to see how she does hold up this weekend. But so far, she's done amazing. I mean, she opened with a 7-under 65. She backed that up with a 67 yesterday. So she really did what she needed to do just to hang in there and be in the mix. And while she was at the top of the leaderboard yesterday, she got chased down by Sung-Hoon Park, who was last year's Rookie of the Year, Co-Player of the Year, and she went out and fired a 64. Definitely made it interesting. Now the two are tied at the top. They have a little bit of a cushion coming into the weekend, about a 3-stroke lead ahead of Jessica Korda. But, you know, it's like the more names you keep mentioning, the more exciting it's getting. It's like, oh, yeah, Jessica Korda's in the mix, too. So, yeah, it's going to make for a really great weekend.
Yeah, and if you were expecting to see, you know, Lydia Ko or Michelle Wee or some of those familiar names, even Shan Fung. I mean, you've got Jessica Korda, Jody Ewert-Shadoff, Amy Olson, Charlie Hull. I mean, Beatrice Ricciardi, Jennifer Song. I mean, this thing is really, really amazing. And how might the weather play into it? I know a 3-shot lead going into Saturday is not insurmountable, but might weather come into play for some of these people in the top 10?
It looks like it's going to be pretty calm here. You know, last year we did have a wind delay. That was on like the first or second round. Earlier this week, we did have some pretty strong winds around 20, 25 miles an hour, but it's been really calm the past 2 days, and we're expecting the same here this weekend. So I don't think wind will be much of a factor, which allows for some of these crazy low scores. It will be incredibly hot again. They're expecting temperatures around the mid-90s again today. So it's very hot, but the conditions are relatively calm and great for scoring. So, you know, as we saw, they already set a new 36-hole tournament scoring record. They beat that yesterday at 12 under par. The previous record was 11, set back in 2006 by Lorena Ochoa. So it just shows you how they're able to take advantage of these calm conditions to go low.
Yeah, the level of play is incredible. We're talking to our good friend Amy Rogers from LPGA.com, and you can follow her on Twitter at the Amy Rogers. And I'm curious, you know, as I looked down, I watched what I thought Christy Kerr was spraying the ball all over the place. How did she score as well as she did when statistically it looked like she was almost out of it on half the holes? Did she just have the greatest save day ever?
She's an incredible putter. When she turns it on and she gets the putter going, I think that's really what saves her. You know, she's incredible. She starts walking them in from like 25 feet, but she just knows that it's going in. And I think for her, that was the difference maker.
Yeah, I mean, she's not in contention, but if you only saw the highlights, you would have thought, you know, if you're just tuning in sporadically during that weird round, I can't remember. I think it was Thursday's round. Maybe it was yesterday's round, where she just seemed to be struggling. And I didn't know that she had putted so well. So that helps make sense. Now, are we all really looking forward to the day that we have a Korda final grouping?
So bad for these two. I feel like every time we talk to them, we ask them about the sister.
Yeah.
And they're probably like, I am so tired of talking about my sister. But I think that just shows how excited we all are, you know, to see these two. I did catch up with Jessica after her round yesterday, and Nelly had gone off in the morning and Jessica was in the afternoon. And I saw the two passing each other on the putting green as Nelly was coming off and Jessica was going out to tee off, and I asked her after her round if they had talked at all, because, you know, Jessica said she had been watching the morning coverage. She wanted to see how the greens were playing, and she's like, oh yeah, I talked to my sister, you know, as I was getting ready to go off, and she said, you know, the greens are playing pretty fast. And so they can kind of give each other these little tips and nuggets as well. But I'm sure when that day comes that they do end up playing in a final group, there's not going to be any of that sharing going on, because, you know, they have talked about, you know, how they've seen each other play well. It has motivated them. You know, for Jessica, you know, she'd been out here quite a few years by herself already when Nelly came out last season. And the incredible start that Nelly has gotten off to, I mean, her very first event, she finishes top five in the Bahamas. It's really served as a motivator for Jessica to kind of get her game going again. And now we're seeing her at the top of the leaderboard. So Nelly's coming into this weekend. She's four under. She's currently tied for 15th. And as I mentioned, Jessica's currently third. So if Nelly can make a little move today, she might be playing that final round with her sister.
Yeah, well, it's great to have your little sister tag along until she beats you, right? I mean, all of this, oh, it's so great, she's motivating me, it's nice to have family out there, until she beats her. Then I think that, you know, that some of that warmth might cool. Well, you know, also sitting there in the top five, because there's a log jam at four, is Charlie Hull. You know, she's becoming, I think, another breakout star. Is she as big in Europe, you know, as we see some of the South Korean players are in Korea in terms of star power?
I don't think she's that big of a star. I think Korea is just like a whole different level, given the Seiri impact. And, you know, we've talked quite a bit about this, actually, because this year, the UL International Crown, which is like a team competition with eight different teams from around the world, it's going to be held in Korea. And Korea is currently one of the number one teams. And we keep talking about the crowds they're expecting. And they're playing it at the course where they play the President's Cup, the last go-round, the Jack Nicklaus course there. We're just expecting, like, insane crowds. I just think, given the Seiri impact, it's just on, like, a whole other level. But Charlie Hull, very much a big star in England, for sure. You see a lot of the international media catching up with her after her round, and she really likes it on this course. I mean, I remember talking with her last year. She was in contention as well. So you see that a lot with the players out here on the LPGA Tour. You know, there's definitely certain courses that bring out their best game, and this is one for Charlie Hull.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about South Korea and the UL Crown going there, I mean, you know, the commissioner, Mike Wan, is great with enthusiasm. I'm not sure he's going to need to add any to that event. I mean, he might even find himself taken aback by just how crazy it is.
Yeah, it was really interesting. I was talking with Indy Park last week at the Kia Classic about this. And, you know, of all people to have felt a lot of the pressure over the years of being a Korean to succeed has been Indy Park. And how she has managed that pressure, I have no idea. But, you know, to come back after being injured, she was, you know, out of golf for 3 months dealing with a thumb injury, and she came back and won in Rio and won Olympic gold, you know, after 3 months off. You know, under all the pressure that she was feeling, you know, they just expect so much from these players, and they're under so much pressure from the fans and the media over there. And Envy says to me, she's like, I don't know how they're going to take it if we don't win. And she means they being the fans. How they'll take it if Korea doesn't win this competition. And I was like, oh my gosh, it just gives you a little glimpse of how much pressure they are feeling to compete. And I think it's just going to be like something we've never seen. I'm actually going over for the competition in October, so I'm excited to see firsthand. I've heard so many of the stories over the years of how big they are. You know, you'll walk into a sports bar and they have LPGA on. So I'm excited to see this and really see what it's like.
Yeah, I think they'll handle it better than, say, Oakland Raiders fans would handle a similar disappointment. So that, you know, at least you know you're safe, I think, over in South Korea.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Well, we're talking our good friend Amy Rogers from the LPGA, and follow her at the Amy Rogers on Twitter. One of my favorite players who's deep on the board, she had red numbers on Thursday, but struggled yesterday to finish even, is Madeline Sagstrom. She tore apart the Symetra Tour the 1 year she was out there. In fact, the only cut she missed was here in Charlotte. Is she someone that the Europeans, I know they chose her for the Solheim Cup last summer, and I got to visit with her out in Iowa. Is she someone that the European leaders of the golf leaders are looking at as a rising star?
Oh, absolutely. I think for Madeline, it's just a matter of time. I mean, you touched on her success on the Symetra Tour, but, you know, still coming out here to the LPGA, it is an adjustment. A lot of those Symetra events are able to kind of drive around. You know, when you move to the LPGA, we're talking international, worldwide travel. It's quite an adjustment, and I think that's kind of what we saw from Madeline over that first season. By the end of last year, she had some great finishes, so I think she was finally kind of starting to hit her stride. You know, I caught up with her during the off season, and she was putting in some work on her game. She's very analytical, much like, you know, her fellow countrywoman Annika Sorensen was, and analyzing her swing. And she had posted some incredible photos of herself hooked up to all these, you know, like electrodes, like monitoring everything in her body. And it was to like break down her swing and what was going on with it and what she needed to address in the off season. So she obviously takes her game very seriously, but I definitely think as she continues to get comfortable out here, you know, she's going to get familiar with playing more of these courses. Definitely think we're going to see Madeline find some success out here on the LPGA.
Well, before we let you go, turning our attention to Sunday, I mean, what are we going to see on Sunday? Who's going to be jumping into Poppy's Pond? And I also want to ask you what you think about them cleaning up Poppy's Pond. I know you're very young, but it used to be really gross, and that kind of made it more cool when they jumped into something so gross. But who do you think we're going to see jump into the now kinder, gentler Poppy's Pond?
You know, it's funny you brought that up. Last year for a feature for LPGA.com, I jumped in the pond. I did it myself last year because I wanted to show people what they actually see. So I brought all these GoPros with me into the water. We shot the whole thing. So people want to see what it's like to actually make the leap. It's on LPGA.com. I did it last year. It was pretty cool. But yeah, it used to be pretty murky, pretty gross. I was talking with Amy Alcott about that earlier this week. She was the first one to make the jump in 1988. This is the 30th anniversary. So I'm actually putting together a piece on that for this Sunday for LPGA.com. So pretty cool. But anyway, back to your original question. I think Sung-Hee Park's going to hold on.
Okay.
There's something about this girl. She just has this it factor. It's very much like a Tiger effect. When players, caddies see her name at the top of the leaderboard, they know she means business. I mean, she is the real deal. She is an incredible ball striker. And to come out and do what she did last season, the first rookie ever to reach number one in the world, to take home Rookie of the Year, Co-Player of the Year honors as well, which hasn't been done since Nancy Lopez back in the 70s. It just shows you what incredible talent Sung-Hee Park is. I think she's going to hang on.
Awesome.
And she's highly motivated after last week. So I'm excited to see what she does.
All right. Well, Amy, thank you for getting up and sounding so spry for us early in the morning. And enjoy the weekend. The course looks great, and we appreciate you giving us your insights.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Enjoy the golf.